We have our menu right up front, Chico Sierra's art.
When Pirate's Bone opened in its second location in the Crossroads, Zaid Consuegra wanted to create a relaxed atmosphere for people to enjoy veggie-based food.
The seats here in the waiting area are some movie theaters that we took out of someone's basement. We have our greenery in the wall from Wally Grow, which is a local company.
Local is a big deal at Pirate's Bone. So is comfort. Customers sit at an unpretentious counter with swivelly chairs like you'd find in an old-school diner, and they have a clear view of everything that's happening while their food is being prepared. Onions being chopped, fries in the fryer, veggie burgers sizzling on the grill. Right now, the burger on the grill is a bright purpley-red beet burger, which has become kind of a calling card for the restaurant.
I wanted to layer it in a specific way, so we do our pickle cabbage on top of our guacamole, and then you have your greens, and you have your mayo, and then you have your actual beet burger, and then we have the black buns.
Each ingredient's color immediately catches the eye because of the contrast with the charcoal bun. Zaid says making plant-based burgers that look good and taste good has been a fun challenge for him creatively.
I've been an artist for the most of my life, so one of the things that I wanted to work on is making sure that the food looked great before you actually tasted it, and then that it tasted good, because it doesn't matter if you have a great looking burger if it doesn't taste like anything.
I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard. And Zaid Consuegra is here in the studio now to tell his story, not just the story of his veggie burgers, although we will talk about those, but the story of his journey. He is an artist, as he said, and an immigrant who came to the U.S. as a child, and his status has been in flux over the years. Zaid, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Your immigration status is something that you've made a really conscious decision to be public about as a business owner.
Yeah.
You know, tell me about that, both your status and why you choose to talk about it.
So I'm undocumented. I have DACA, which is Deferred Action for Early Childhood Arrival. A lot of people have the question of whether undocumented means illegal. It doesn't. It's something that we're trying to switch in people's vocabulary. It's very saying that someone is illegal, it's very strong. It does a lot of harm.
So you were actually, people called you that as a child.
Yeah. I have been through the years, been called illegal. And it is very harmful. So we want people to start using, you know, a better vocabulary to say, because we are undocumented. We're not illegal. No human, you know, being should be illegal.
Can you explain a little bit more about your situation with DACA, especially, I mean, over the last few years, that has been really tenuous?
Yeah, I've been fighting so I got DACA in 2015, and I think it took me about a year or two to come out and be really just proud of who I was, no matter what the circumstances were, and talk about my status.
You were reluctant at first.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was in the shadows. It's well known as in the shadows. I didn't want to talk about it. It was a scary time, and I didn't have anything to protect me.
And what changed your position on that? I mean, there was an article all about you in Bon Appetit, a national magazine, with your photo there in a national magazine, and the headline in giant print by your photo that says, "The Undocumented Chef."
Yeah.
That's about as public as you
could
be.
That was really public. I was stunned, actually. I woke up that morning, and the writer sent me the link. We became acquaintances through the process of the interview. I think we spoke for about 6 or so hours in total. So we had some very deep conversations to make that article happen. And it was in the span of maybe 3 months. So we got really personal. It was a shock to me. I was really proud that I got to get that attention, and that I also got the platform to talk about not only myself, but the struggles that I go through and a ton of other people go through.
Is there a moment where you just had the realization that it was important to you to do this kind of speaking and, like, acknowledging your whole self?
Yeah. KS Moda was where I started. It's a local organization here in Kansas City. And really to see others like myself with DACA and some undocumented fight for the rights of others was astonishing. And I wanted to be part of that. I wanted to have, or like give whatever I could to make this happen and fight all the way to the Supreme Court, which is what we did this year.
The full headline in that article I was just referencing, it was "The Undocumented Chef Behind Kansas City's Most Inclusive Restaurant." Can you explain the rest of that headline? What's inclusive in an unusual way about Pirate's Bone?
So with this new restaurant, we want it to be as inclusive just because of how I've been mistreated in the past. I know a lot of other people have. So I have felt some pain and I know what that feels like. So I want others to not feel excluded. And that's a big word that I've been working on, inclusion. Pretty much with every speech and every interview that I talk about, inclusive or inclusivity has come about.
What does that mean in restaurants?
So in restaurants right now, we're trying to be inclusive as far as being ADA approved or like accessible for anyone with any type of disability. We're getting our menus translated into different languages. We have our Braille menu coming up this week. So I'm really excited for that. And just keep on learning things that we should as human beings to be more inclusive. We have a policy where we try to accept everybody, no matter their gender. And whether it be as a customer or as an employee, we try to be super respectful. Pronouns is a big thing we're working on a daily basis at the restaurant. So trying to be as inclusive as possible.
You've referenced some pain you've experienced, and I'm not trying to like prod at wounds or anything,
no, yeah.
But can we get a little bit more specific? I'd like to hear about your upbringing here in Kansas City. You moved here when you were 11.
Yeah, I moved here when I was 11. I went to school in the Shawnee Mission District. And there at the time I didn't know, but I did experience some of those very soft racist interactions and comments. And I remember clearly in middle school, I was called an illegal alien, not knowing what that was. And then throughout the years, a lot of people, you know, will throw those words as illegal alien, wetback, and just some of the most horrible things. And it really just gets under your skin, especially because you're so young and you don't understand what it means. It can throw your life up a little bit.
Just make you feel like you're not part of the group.
Well, more than that, I think it makes you feel less than part of the group, which is dehumanizing.
Yeah. You wanted to make movies.
I did. And I wanted to make movies because I thought that was, well, I was creative, one. And then I thought that'd be my easiest way to get out of my situation and into a more standard American life.
Because, can you explain that? Was it that the standard American life seemed to live in those movies or something?
Not that. I just didn't want to be in the immigrant life in the U.S. So I wanted to be able to, you know, make the amount of money needed to have a regular quote-unquote life.
You went to Boston for college.
Yeah, I applied for an adult program because that's pretty much all I could afford in Boston. I loved it. It was the best time of my life. I wanted to stay at Emerson College. But when I talked to everybody, I went up to the dean of students and to the president, and they turned me down. They said they couldn't help me. And at that point, I didn't have DACA, and there wasn't really much in the works for any protection or any help for undocumented youth. Therefore, I wasn't able to get grants or any financial help for my college. I remember getting on my knees and crying and begging them, you know, to let me stay in school because I wanted to stay in school. This was pretty much the first time that I wanted to continue pursuing a school curriculum. Before that,
you loved it.
I did. I actually found myself to be very smart when I got to college. Throughout the years here in the Shawnee Mission District, I was pretty much failing all my classes. And in middle school, I was told by my math teacher that I wouldn't become anyone or come to fulfill my life in any form of way. So that was a hard thing to hear from somebody that was teaching me. So I really wanted to stay in school, and they said they couldn't help me.
You did end up back in Kansas City after that, working in the kitchen at a Mexican restaurant.
I did. My ID was expiring. I think it was going to expire in the month or so before I came back. And therefore, if I stayed in Boston, I wouldn't have been able to travel at that point. Even to get on a train on Amtrak, you had to have a valid ID. So that was going to become very impossible for me to do. I wasn't going to be able to drive. You know, I wasn't going to be able to fly. So I was going to be pretty much stuck. And the best place to be stuck is around family.
So the job in a Mexican restaurant in the kitchen, can you tell me about that, what that experience was like for you as someone who later becomes a restaurant owner and employer? It is interesting to me to sort of like track your own experience on the other side of things.
Yeah, now that I am a owner and just in, you know, I have my boss shoes on, that restaurant was horrible. I'm not going to name drop any, but the way the manager spoke to people, the way he spoke to me, I referred to him like one, he just called me, you know, like if I was an actual graduate, that I wouldn't be working at a Mexican restaurant like all the other wetbacks. So, and then not even just the manager, but the owners were just some of the worst people. Like I remember them coming and everyone was just, before they got in the door, everyone was just tired of them before they came in because there were some nasty people.
Did, when you first opened Pirate's Bone in a really a tiny space on East 59th Street, it was primarily a coffee shop, and the whole concept has evolved a lot. But what was your vision when you first got started?
I didn't have one. I just wanted to stop living in the same reality that I was in, which was working low-paying job or helping out my mom's business. We worked all my life in my mom's business. It was a family business. So
tell us about that.
She had a little bodega in the Lenexa Shawnee area. So she had it for about 12 plus years. So most of my growing up here in the States was being attached to a small business. And it took a lot. It took a lot of my mom being with me. It took a lot of my childhood. It also gave me a lot of things, you know. It gave me the possibility to go to Boston and pay for that adult program. So there's some good and there's some bad to it.
And you wanted to do that for yourself?
No. I wanted to get away from that.
But then you started a business to get away from the life of the business owner?
I thought I was smart enough, but I was really young at this point. And I thought it was going to, like, coffee was going to be so easy and I would never go back into food. And here I am again.
So you thought coffee was going to just be this whole other world.
Yeah.
Was it?
It was in a way, but I did stumble upon, you know, my bumps here in the road.
You know, I do want to say that before the veggie burgers that put you on the map, you made some very memorable veggie burritos with quinoa in them and sort of a creamy but like spicy sauce. And I've never had another burrito like that.
Me neither. I really loved them. They were really good. And, you know, when I look back, I can see how I got into food and why I got into food and why it's so sometimes easy for me. Without any training, any culinary training, why it's so easy for me to come up with all these things, even though it takes a lot of time for me to come up with a recipe. I mean, I spend months every time we do something, and I'm very particular. So I like the challenge of food. I've always been intrigued by it. So it's, as much as I don't like being in it, I also love being in it.
I have met and known a lot of artists whose passion ends up translating into food over time. Do you think that that's a thing?
I think so. I mean, for me, it was a necessity. So that's the other difference, that if it wasn't because I needed to, I might have not chose this. But it's a necessity that I had to do. And once I was in it, I was too deep in it to go back. And I didn't have anything to fall back on.
Where did the decision to go entirely plant-based come from?
I myself chose to switch my diet, going from being a butcher to working at a Mexican restaurant that maybe had rice and beans as vegetarian, but everything else was pretty much meat-based. And all my life I've been a meat eater. So once I transitioned my life, I decided that I couldn't keep the coffee shop being having like plant
products.
Animal products. So I switched everything within 2 months after I switched my own diet.
Can we talk veggie burgers? Because we started with those and I want to get back to them.
Yeah, let's do it.
You've got a beet burger and we heard about that. It is famous partly because it is beautiful. But also a carrot burger and what else?
So we have a black bean carrot burger. We have a sriracha chicken. We have a fried chicken that we do as a special. We also have our breakfast burger, which I really like our breakfast burger.
Tell me about it.
It's a egg tofu. So we season the tofu with black salt and then nutritional yeast, some garlic, some onion powders. So it brings out like some of those chicken flavors. And then we do our own oat sausage. And that one's really nice. I'm very happy with it.
How do you make sausage out of oats?
Seasonings. I mean, and any great chef will tell you it's really all about the seasonings and how you cook things and how you prepare things. Because at the end of the day, you can have a great piece of steak if you really wanted to, and you can mess it up quite easily if you don't have, either you cook it wrong or you don't have the right seasonings or marinades for it.
What are the challenges of making a veggie burger? Because I will say I've eaten a lot of them. I've never made one from scratch. And it seems to me like there are a lot of pitfalls that I can observe as an eater, but I don't know what creates them behind the scenes.
I'd say it's really hard, especially when I am trying to cater to people who are not veggie eaters, because I have to think about what they're looking for or what the taste buds are that they want to have during their meal. So duplicating something that it's not a meat is probably the hardest thing. That's why I spend months and months, you know, prepping all these different type of burgers.
Zaid Consuegra, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jen.
I'm Gina Kaufman. We are sticking with vegetarian food. Our food critics will be here in just a minute to lead us on a search for the best vegetarian dishes on Kansas City menus. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the awesome meatless meal you crave. Where do you get it? 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and the food critics are here. We are looking for delicious vegetarian food on Kansas City menus with Jenny Vergara, Mary Block, and Danielle Lehman. Hi, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Call 816-235-2888 to join this conversation's critics. Just today, the New York Times ran a piece offering advice for meat lovers on how to eat less meat to help mitigate climate change. There is so much interest right now in putting vegetarian meals on your personal menu, even if you are not a vegetarian, which has not predominantly been the case in the past. Discuss.
It's true. And we in Kansas City are probably lagging behind the coast for sure, because we are a meat and potatoes town kind of at our core. So I think we have lagged behind, but I think Kansas City is right there. We're starting to understand more and more the benefits of eating plants, everything from the cutting down on our more eco-friendly to just more health, you know, there's some healthier options. So
I think we're also discovering that they can be delicious.
Yeah, it's you can go beyond steam vegetables.
Nowadays. Yes, nowadays. Exactly. That hasn't always been the case.
No, but the chefs are so creative in what they're coming up with these days.
So I'd like to start by having each of you share the vegetarian dish you are most excited about. Danielle, let's start with you.
Sure. So I'm really excited about Momo Bar KC, which is a new Nepalese pop-up concept that's happening around Kansas City. And they actually have vegan Momo. And if you're not familiar with Momo, it's a Nepalese dumpling. And I love that the owners, Mickey and Sid, are really passionate about offering Momo for the masses, no matter what your dietary restrictions might be. So they do offer a vegan one on their menu, and it's fabulous.
Describe it.
So it's just a soft dumpling that is steamed usually, or it could be fried, but they steam theirs. They've done a couple of different types of vegan ones. I've seen mushroom and some other chopped vegetables in it. And then they have a sauce as well on top of it. But it's just a really warm comfort food that's really traditional in Nepal.
Mary, what are you most excited about?
I love the meza plate at the restaurant at 1900. It's on both the lunch and dinner menu. And you've got all these wonderful Mediterranean bites. There's always a beet falafel. There's chutney. There's a red pepper spread, fried cauliflower, which if you've never had fried cauliflower, it takes it to an entirely new dimension.
You know, this is... That's a very high-end restaurant, special occasion dinner. As someone who has always really loved having the presence of a vegetable, even if it's not a vegetarian dish, it used to be like not that easy to get vegetarian food at a special occasion kind of restaurant.
That's true. But I don't think that's the case anymore.
Yeah.
And this comes with homemade naan, and you just, you know, tear some naan and dip it in a spread, have a bite of the falafel. They have a grilled halloumi cheese. It's wonderful and very reasonably priced.
And this is the restaurant at 1900.
Yes.
Jenny, what about you? The thing you're most excited to share with us?
Well, I think as vegetarianism in particular has been hitting the mainstream on restaurant menus. So now instead of asking for a separate menu to look at vegetarian items, you can actually find them embedded all throughout the menu, which is basically what we were talking about. A Strain Hall at NIDA, which is Chef Rimi Aisha's new place, she has kind of a vegetarian taco, which I had the opportunity to have a couple of days ago, and I love it. It's basically a tortilla, and if you get it with the melt, she actually kind of crisps really, really crispy cheese. She'll kind of layer one side of the tortilla with cheese, put it on the flat top, and get it really caramelized and crunchy. And then she fills the inside with crispy eggplant, and it has a tomatillo tahini sauce. So tahini is like a sesame spread sauce. So it's got this kind of nuttiness to it. She has kind of Mediterranean in her background, so that doesn't surprise me that she has a taco with tahini in it. But it has pickled chilies, arugula, and get elote as your side. That's one of my favorite sides there. So
describe elote for people who are unfamiliar.
It's decorated corn on the cob. I mean, for lack of a better word, that's really boiling it down into its simplest terms. But basically, it's usually a little chili powder, some butter. It can be mayo or sour cream. It can have kind of a Parmesan sprinkle cheese on top. I mean, it's made in a wide variety of different ways, but it's just lovely, lovely, extra, extra corn on the cob.
There are restaurants in Kansas City, lots of them, that are entirely plant-based menus. We just heard about one of them from Zaid Consuegra at Pirate's Bone. Plant-based restaurant, 100%. But Mary, you have kind of the other end of the spectrum here. Barbecue joints do offer vegetarian food now, and you are alerting us to something that is very surprising to me, a vegetarian Z-Man at Joe's KC.
Yes. They always have a mushroom Z-Man on the menu.
Can we just stop and say, what is a Z-Man before we talk about the fact that there's a vegetarian one? Because this is like the epitome of the like meat-loving sandwich deal.
It's true. The regular Z-Man is one of the most popular menu items, and it's brisket, smoked, it's got melted provolone and a French fried onion ring on it, and barbecue sauce.
In the sandwich.
In the sandwich.
Onion ring in the sandwich.
So you've got that crunch. And they substitute it with a mushroom if you want instead of the brisket. So you've still got the cheese and the onion ring. And currently they're doing a special using an Impossible Patty, which is a meat substitute. So it's like a hamburger, and they're testing it. And if it's successful, they'll put it on the menu full time.
So it's good that our listeners know that they're testing it.
Exactly.
Did you try it?
I have not tried it. I've had the mushroom one, and it is very satisfying.
Interesting. Okay, so there is a veggie Z-Man at Joe's KC. Danielle, how about some plant-based nachos?
Ooh, yes. So I love Maddie's Vegan Eats. They are a vegan food truck, and they actually make their own spicy vegan queso out of cashews, and it's honestly amazing, and I'm a meat eater. They have nachos that they sell out of the truck that are you can typically get with jackfruit, which is also very satisfying, and just topped with that spicy vegan queso. And you can actually buy a jar of the queso to take home too.
So tell us again, where is this?
So Maddie's Vegan Eats, they're a food truck that kind of pops up around the city, so it's best to check out their Facebook page, and it'll tell you where they'll be next.
Let's turn to a caller at 816-235-2888. We're talking about the best vegetarian dishes on Kansas City menus. Sharon in Kansas City, good morning.
Morning.
What do you want to share?
I wanted to share. There are two. I am a longtime vegetarian, so I really seek out vegetarian restaurants or restaurants that have some vegetarian selections. And one is fairly new, the Urban Cafe at 55th and Troost. And my favorite there is the Urban Bowl, which you can get either vegetarian or non-vegetarian. The one I choose is has a tofu topping that's fixed kind of like scrambled eggs and has quinoa in it and just a whole bunch of really goodies. It's like a surprise with every bite, you know?
Yeah, and you wanted to recommend two places. What is the other place you wanted to recommend?
The other one is Green Room Burgers and Beer.
Where's that?
It's on Pennsylvania, just underneath, I think it's the Westport Coffee Shop.
Okay, so in Westport, what do you like to get there?
They have a wonderful veggie burger that they'll serve either as a burger bowl, and I think it's a bean burger.
Okay.
But they tried switching to another one for a while and it wasn't nearly as good, and they went back to this one. So you can have it served with a lot of greens.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So we're back to veggie burgers. So I do want to give Mary an opportunity to talk about a veggie burger she likes at Howard's Cafe.
Yes. Chef Howard Craig Howard does a great veggie burger. He spent a lot of time doing R&D to get this burger so it would not fall apart. And it's made with lentils and red beans and grains and carrots. And he makes his own cheese. It's wonderful. And of course, his French fries are great too.
Jenny, tell me about Deadbeat Tacos. I am dying over the name because that's beet, B-E-E-T.
Yeah, so Chef Kat owns Deadbeat Tacos, and she's kind of knocked around several different kitchens and doing some, you know, vegetarian kind of cuisine, but a lot of other things as well. And this is kind of her own thing, and she hasn't really found a home yet, but she is doing fairly regular pop-ups at Dodson's Bar in Waldo. And they have a little kitchen there that they just basically allow people to come in and kind of pop up into, and she's a regular contributor. I think she has a regular day that she's there. But she basically does these classic tacos that has a little black bean puree, and then she has a carne asada that's made from seitan, which is kind of a meat substitute, queso fresco, a little tomatillo salsa, bread and butter radishes, and a little squirt of lime. And I'm telling you just won't miss the meat. It's really good. And Dodson's Bar is kind of cute. I like that bar. I've been to several pop-ups there just out of curiosity, and I'm enjoying myself at Dodson's.
It does seem like the pop-up concept is big for plant-based food.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a lot of money to have a restaurant startup, and I think you want to be really, really sure that you have a base of fans before you open the door, really. I mean, make the investment.
It's a step.
It is a step. It's like a food truck. It's just like a food truck.
So, Jenny, I do also want to hear about the nachos on your list. I just feel like nachos are going to be a really big deal to a lot of people in about a week, so I just think we should be sure and get those in here.
What's going on in a week?
I don't know. I just feel like maybe people will want nachos, like a lot of them, for parties and things?
I ate my nachos during the championship, so I think I'm nachoed out, but I'm happy to talk about my nachos.
Yes.
So the nachos I'm recommending basically are at the Fix KC, which is in a little location basically that used to be Attitude on 31st Street. It has now switched over to the Fix. And they're doing kind of a vegan, vegetarian, kind of jumbled up menu of kind of breakfast items and a few lunch items. But they have nachos that are made with house-made tortilla chips, tomatoes, olives, jalapenos, pico de gallo, sour cream, which obviously dairy there, but homemade cashew cheese sauce. Again, this cashew cheese that keeps coming up. If you get a really good one and can find someone who really does it well, and they too sell it by the jar, I believe. And they've done, Maddie's has done pop-ups actually at the Fix, I noticed recently, which was what Danielle just recommended. So a lot of these, to your point, partnerships, they're getting together and they're trying to figure out how they can come together and both kind of benefit from supporting each other in the community, which is great.
And so you like the nachos at the Fix KC.
Yes.
What about plant-based donuts at Happy Apple Cafe?
Yeah, Happy Apple Cafe. I did an interview with this guy when he first was getting ready to open. And he's very, very interesting. You know, he's doing really unusual, some kind of more, I don't know, junk food knockoffs, I guess, of vegetarian food. So I would put kind of donuts in that category, something maybe breakfast snacky-like.
Everyone has cravings.
Right. No joke. Like, if you can fulfill that need in a way that's you know, obviously people can still eat within their parameters, I think that's amazing and innovative. He's got a strawberry mint mozzarella cheese sandwich there in his menu, which is also really good and weird and quirky. And that's kind of him. I mean, it's kind of that place in general. So he's doing a lot of kind of more interesting things with his menu. And I highly recommend him.
Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about a delicious vegetarian dish that you have eaten at a Kansas City restaurant that the rest of us need to know about. 816-235-2888. Mary, tell me about the Angelotti dishes you're recommending at both Corvino and the Antler Room.
So both Chef Michael Corvino and Nick Gellner do amazing vegetable dishes. Their pastas are all homemade as well. And it's funny, they both do this great carrot pasta. And I don't know what it is about a carrot pasta. I think because the carrots get caramelized, so there's a little bit of sweetness there. It's always really good and bright
and
delicious.
My mouth just watered, TMI, but true.
Good. So the Angelotti on the Corvino menu right now has, it's made with carrot, so they're orange. The pastas are orange, and it's got ricotta and kale, and the textures and colors just really make it a standout. And Nick often has a carrot pasta on his menu as well. Right now,
that's at the Antler Room.
Yes, right now he's got one with squash and mozzarella, which is also excellent.
Danielle, we are actually coming up on a really big opportunity to try a lot of not just vegetarian food, but vegan food, entirely plant-based food in Kansas City, KC Vegan Restaurant Week. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so next week is Kansas City's Vegan Restaurant Week. Every night there is an event at a different plant-based restaurant with a special menu. And I believe 20% of the proceeds for each evening will go to the Kansas City Pig Rescue Network. So there are several...
Whoa. What is the Kansas City Pig Rescue Network?
So from what I understand, a lot of people think it would be a great idea to have a pig as a pet. But then if it doesn't work out for them, what happens to these pigs? And so the Kansas City Pig Rescue Network can help with that.
I'm nodding.
What?
I'm not a spokesperson for them, but that's what I thought it was.
I actually did
for
have
vegan restaurant.
I'm down with vegan restaurant week, but
save the pigs.
Save the pigs.
Yeah,
the pigs. In Kansas City, save the pigs.
I'll save my personal anecdote for Twitter, but please tell us more about the event itself from like the point of view of the person who might just get to try a lot of food.
Yeah, if you are curious about trying a lot of the restaurants that we've talked about today, so Pirate's Bone Burgers is participating. There's a vegan pop-up at The Bite in the City Market that I believe is participating. The Littlest Bake Shop is a vegan and gluten-free bakery in Brookside East. And there are several others. And so each night...
This is next week.
It's next week. If you head over to Facebook and search for Kansas City Vegan Restaurant Week, there's an event page that has all of the details and you can find the times and locations.
We will take your calls about vegan and vegetarian dishes on any Kansas City menus. Side dishes count, but we prefer a meal. And you have just a little time left to make that call. 816-235-2888. You can also talk to us on Twitter. We are at KCURCST. I'm Gina Kaufman, Central Standard. We'll be right back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and we're talking about vegetarian food with Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine, Danielle Lehman of the Open Belly Podcast, and Mary Block. She has a food blog, Around the Block. Hi again, everyone.
Hello. Howdy.
So, Mary, you've got some veggie-based ramens on your list, and this is a nice day for that kind of a thing.
It's a terrific day for it. My favorite is at Columbus Ramen Park in Columbus Park. And
go figure.
Yeah. Josh Ian's does a great miso mushroom ramen. It's really, it's got a very intense and redolent mushroom flavor. And it comes with smoked tofu also and a black garlic sesame oil, which really kind of
that and a chili bomb, I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. It hits the spot.
He also has a lot of vegetarian appetizers,
he
though.
He does.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, he has kimchi and pickled vegetables. And it, as you say, a day like today, it's very comforting and warming.
And then actually, your other ramen place recommendation is not for the ramen. It's for a salad.
It's true. Boru Ramen has ramen, to be sure. But my favorite thing there is the crispy Brussels sprout salad. It's really addictive. It's fried and it's tossed in a fish sauce vinaigrette. So theoretically, it does have shrimp paste
it's
in it.
It's pescatarian.
Yeah, exactly. But it's fabulous. I could make a meal out of it.
Well, Danielle, tell me about the new vegan lunch menu at Waldo Thai.
Yeah, so Waldo Thai just rolled out their new menu for the season, and their lunch menu had several vegan options on it. And I've heard from some of the staff there that one of the vegan dishes in particular is actually the staff favorite dish of the entire menu now. So
what is it?
I believe it is the vegan stir-fry dish with jackfruit as well and has spicy peppers. They have a couple of rice noodle dishes that have tofu and veggies. They also have a bok choy saute. Chef Pam Liberta there can do incredible things with vegetables and a little bit of heat. So if you like spicy dishes, those are my recommendations.
Oh, that sounds really good. Jenny, Can I Have a Bite just reopened in the space where Eden Alley used to be, which feels like a passing of the torch in a way.
I think it absolutely is. I think Kathy kind of represents kind of, we've talked about the third wave of kind of vegan and vegetarian restaurants opening, and Eden Alley was the original OG. I mean, hats off to them. They really held up in Kansas City when we were still strictly a meat and potatoes town. But now Kathy is in the space, and she's inherited, obviously, the beautiful patio as well as the restaurant itself.
Over on the plaza.
Over on the plaza, and it's kind of next to Unity Temple there at the western end of the plaza. But she basically has taken her Can I Have a Bite kind of grab and go healthy meals, and she kind of caters to a lot of different, you know, there's paleo, there's vegetarian, there's kind of protein heavy, there's just
separate
kinda
categories.
Yes. So depending on what meal plan, for example, that you're on, she will cater to you. She also does some juice cleanses and some other things. But she has one of her vegetarian options is called the Streets of Thailand, which I think is just so, so delicious. It's Thai mung beans with cabbage, carrot, turnip slaw, sautéed mushrooms, and a little bit of ginger and garlic, and it's finished with sesame and sunflower seeds. And I mean, that dish, there's something about the flavors of kind of the international flavors of that Thai bowl that I just adore at her place. But yeah, go in, swing in. I mean, there is still vegetarian and vegan to be found in the former Eden Alley space. So,
and at the previous Can I Have a Bite location that was much smaller, the focus was kind of on prepared but frozen carry out that you could just stick in your oven. Does she still do that, or is that?
Yes, that's absolutely still part of what she's doing. In fact, you can go on her website and actually order things. And on certain days of the week, she delivers these frozen items to you. So if you need delivery to your house, she can do that. Or you can just swing in and pick up things. But yes, she still has her whole menu basically kind of frozen ready for you just to pop in your oven and eat.
Let's talk to John in Prairie Village. Hi, John.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing great. A little cold, but it's great.
Yes, understandably. Can you tell us about your favorite thing to get that's a vegetarian dish on a Kansas City menu?
Yeah, so I've been a regular at the Bite in the City Market for a long time, and I recently became a vegan. They had some vegan sandwiches, but I was told that there was a pop-up, Taqueria Venganza Vegana.
Mm-hmm. And Taqueria Vegana,
Yes, it just changed my life. I had this eggplant sandwich, torta, that had a crispy eggplant and beans and an avocado sauce that was just delicious. And we also tried some nachos and a crunch wrap. And I believe they're making everything from scratch. I was talking to one of the guys, and they said that a lot of their cheeses are nut free, which my daughter is allergic to peanuts. So it was great for us, so she can have some nacho cheese when we were there. And it was just great. The guys are great. The food is amazing. So,
well, thanks. That is, thank
yeah,
you.
Thank you.
You know, he ought to also go check out Pollo, which is owned by the same chef, Carlos Motera. And it's the Pollo obviously means chicken, and the star of the show is supposed to be the roast chicken that comes off the grill. But I would suggest that you could make a great meal with all the side dishes. He's got a charred broccoli, kimchi fried rice, elote, usually a couple specials, and they're as interesting as what the caller was talking about.
And I will say, Taqueria Vegana is delicious, and I would contend that as we get more creative in creating kind of our junk food favorites in more vegan and vegetarian options, it opens the doors to a lot more people trying it and being open to trying it when it can kind of, you know, it doesn't have to just be a grain bowl with steamed vegetables, which is what forever we have thought of in terms, you know, vegetarians eat a salad, vegans eat, you know, a grain bowl with steamed veg. This goes beyond that and tries to really make it tasty and delicious, not necessarily always healthy. And we should kind of make that distinction because, yeah. You know, you get anything with a lot of butter and cheese and all that, or what, you know, whatever, a lot of cheese, vegan cheese, even if you eat too much of it. But I think this is really something that's opening the doors to more people trying it, is kind of more of these fun plays. And Taqueria Vegana does that.
Mary, something vegetarians thankfully don't have to do much of anymore is order a lot of side dishes and assemble them until they have enough food to create what they could consider a meal. But you do have some exceptional meatless side dishes to tell us about. We've covered a few of them, but there are a couple left, specifically at Novel.
Yes. Ryan Brazil is a master with vegetables. He has a big list of vegetable side dishes every night, and they're always changing. He'll have green beans with whipped tofu. He might have a fried cauliflower with raisins. But he also does great vegetable soups. In the summer, my favorite is his corn soup. And right now he's serving this honey nut squash soup with some really unusual ingredients. It's got coconut. It's got braised tapioca, jalapeno shug, which is a spicy green herb sauce, and crisp black mustard seeds. And
you just have to
take my word for it. It's a winning combination.
I would love that.
Yeah, it's really good.
Any other side dishes to tell us about?
Well, we talked about the elote Jenny did mm-hmm. earlier. The one that they serve at Port Fonda, which has been on the menu since they opened, is my favorite. And the best part is they've taken the corn off the cob for you. And then all those other ingredients are mixed
Port
up
Fonda
with it.
Port Fonda also does a nice job with their kind of vegetarian offerings. Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't be vegan probably there, I'm guessing.
It does have the cheese in it. But you could get chilaquiles without the egg, mm-hmm. and that's vegan.
Let's return to Pirate's Bone. We spoke to owner Zaid Consuegra earlier in the show about his story and his famous veggie burgers, but those are getting enthusiastic recommendations from a couple of our critics. Danielle, tell us about those burgers. We heard about them from the chef's perspective, now the eater's perspective.
From the eater's perspective, I'm very pleased with all of them. One of my favorites is the sriracha chicken slider, mostly because you find a lot of veggie burgers.
Clearly not actual chicken.
It's not chicken. But you do find a lot of veggie burgers and
Impossible
Burgers.
Wait, that's a meat word. We just used a meat word.
around town. But there aren't that many, vegan chicken replacement type dishes that I've seen on menus. So the one at Pirate's Bone is really great. It's got a little bit of spice with the sriracha. They have, of course, the charcoal buns that really stand out. And he's done a really good job with the sauces and toppings that he's added to all the sliders. So the sriracha chicken one comes with a vegan aioli that they make in-house, and also guacamole. Get it with a side of fries, and it's very satisfying.
Jenny, there is an old standby on your list. It's a place where vegetarians in Kansas City were eating back in the 1990s, Jerusalem Cafe.
Yeah, Jerusalem Cafe has recently moved down to kind of more the western end, I guess, of Westport, and they are now in the former Qdoba location. And the one thing that I will tell you that immediately caught my eye is they have a sparkly gold oven that is a wood-fired oven in the middle of their space now. So it's really open, lots of windows, lots of light. I love the space. I think it feels so much more open. The other space was kind of cramped and small, and I thought they outgrew it. So this feels like a nice upgrade for them. But they have a bar area that they have built around this oven where you can literally sit and order and watch him make flatbreads and all kinds of different things that he's shoving in small pots. There's a chef basically that's stationed in front of it, and it is wood burning. It fire and heat come out of that thing, but he's cooking on it during the busiest hours. So I love that kind of catbird seat where you can watch the action. But I always just tend to get kind of the vegetarian plate at Jerusalem Cafe. It's an old standby classic, but it's falafel and hummus and baba ghanoush and a spinach kind of pastry. It's got some stuffed grape leaves, feta cheese, Kalamata olives, and the pita bread made in that oven. I mean, I just don't know what more you would even want. That's just kind of a nice snack platter, but I use it as my meal when I go. I love it.
I feel like we should acknowledge that hummus and baba ghanoush, but especially hummus, are things that you can find on just about every menu in Kansas City now. They used to be pretty much like that was a novelty to be able to go to this place for those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's relatively cheap and inexpensive to make, and it's an easy way that you could have something that was vegetarian on your menu kind of back in the day when we weren't as, you know, it was either a salad or maybe some hummus and some cold veg. That was kind of your choices. So maybe that was our gateway drug to kind of these bigger, better vegetarian dishes.
There's also, in addition, you have some very new places. Specifically at Strang Hall, you've talked about one of them, mm-hmm. But what about Solstice? We haven't talked about that one.
Yeah, Chef Aaron Bassett is basically doing kind of the superfood venue inside of Strang Hall, which is the new food hall that's opened up in downtown Overland Park. And Solstice is all about kind of just good, clean eating. She's got a salad on her menu that's called the Apple Crunch Salad, and it's absolutely a fan favorite as well as my favorite. I got it for lunch and it was completely and perfectly satisfying. And it's really fresh and crispy and crunchy, which is what I like about it. It's not sogged out with a bunch of dressing. It's got basically spinach, radicchio, walnut brittle, a little bit of cranberry, some blue cheeses in there, fennel, which I adore, and then just a simple cider vinaigrette. And it's perfectly dressed, crunchy, crispy, totally will satisfy.
Name and location of this restaurant again?
Solstice, inside of the Strang Hall in downtown Overland Park.
Danielle, take us to our last meal here, crispy tofu.
Yeah, so Onasone is also located in Strang Hall, and it's a Southeast Asian concept. The chef, Onarome, is a Laotian refugee, and so he has a lot of really traditional Lao food on the menu. And I think if you want an introduction to Lao food, the sticky rice plate is a really good place to start. So for the sticky rice plate, it comes with sticky rice that you kind of make into a scoop with your hands, and you put your protein in the rice. And so he has crispy tofu as an option for vegans and vegetarians. And it's served with their papaya salad. And they also have what's called bang bang sauce, which is a spicy fish sauce that you can use for dipping, and a tomato-based sauce. And he has vegan versions of both of those sauces. So when you go in, you can talk to him and just let him know what your dietary restrictions are. And he can help put together a special version of the sticky rice plate just for vegans.
And for dessert, the Littlest Bake Shop.
Yep, they have some of the best cupcakes I've had in the city, and they're all vegan and gluten-free, and they have cinnamon rolls on the weekends.
Our time is up. Danielle Lehman, wonderful having you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Danielle has a food podcast, Open Belly KC. Mary Block, thanks as always.
Glad to be here.
Mary blogs about food at Around the Block. If you want to follow her culinary adventures between food shows, and Jenny Vergara, contributing editor at Feast Magazine. Thank you.
Thanks, and stay warm.
Yeah, exactly. That is a wrap, everybody. Our list of the best vegetarian dishes in Kansas City will be at kcur.org over the weekend, and you can listen to anything from the week on Central Standard at kcur.org/Central Standard. Talk to us on Twitter. We are at KCURCST, and we love chatting you guys up anytime, so tell us what's on your mind. This show is produced by Melody Rowell, Mackenzie Martin, and Noah Taborda. Sylvia Maria Gross is our senior producer. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day. And our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman, and like Jenny said, stay warm out there.